Oh, we've got a surprise for you this morning. Some of you are going to be excited. Some of you might not be so excited. Easy, buddy, easy here. Okay. All right. Oh, I'll get them a little bit later. It's nice and cool in here. Does anybody know what my favorite animal on earth is? Anybody want to make a guess? Snakes. You're right. That's it. If I could choose any animal, it would be snakes. Now, I was in Gowdy Church of Christ here a while back here, and after the sermon, after we went outside, somebody's like, there's a big old snake right outside the door there. And I'm getting like all excited. I'm like, oh, do you need me to move it? Do you need me to do something with it? So I go out, because of course I wouldn't kill it, but I definitely would have caught it, no problem. And sure enough, he was right there. And I'm like, you want me to take it down to the woods and anything? And it had a big old mouse or a rat or something in him. It had something right in the middle, so they're not quite as active. I'm like, you want me? They're like, oh, let's just let him go, you know, and he'll crawl under the building and, you know, take care of a mouse problem. Or they didn't have a problem, but I mean, they'll make sure we don't. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we let him go. And then they were kind of joking. They're like, well, you know, you wouldn't want to pick him up because then we'd be one of them churches that has them snakes up front, you know, and all that. And then that got me thinking, like, that might not be too bad. That'd be pretty cool. So I when I was young, I wanted to be a herpetologist, all right? So that's a guy that handles reptiles. So I know some people, and I made some calls, and we have a special treat for you this morning. Is there anybody in the front two or three rows has a problem with snakes? None of you? Good. All right. This could be, all right, if you're in the back, that's okay. This could be one of these sermons that might not quite turn out like we hoped, okay? But we'll see how it goes, all right? Nobody leave. Everything will be fine. But I got a present for you, and it was right here, and you didn't even know. It's been nice and cool out, so there's nothing. It is a little bit warmer in here, so you know snakes are cold-blooded. They get a little bit more active. You know, easy guy there. It's okay. So, but what we're gonna do is easy there. For real, I got a diamondback rattler that we're gonna look at today. Okay, so. Now, we don't need to be panicking here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring them out, and we're going to take a look at this guy. Okay? Now, I got two of them, but I'm only going to get one, all right, because I can't handle two of them at once. All right, let me see here. Okay, hang on, buddy. Nice and easy here. Oh, down you go. Looks like I have one. The second one, you might look under your seats here. Okay, one diamondback rattler. I used to be pretty good at this. Keep his head over there. You got to hold him just right. Easy. Rattler. And there is a diamond on it, so it is a diamondback rattler. All right. So I didn't lie to you. I really did have... Some of you thought, he seriously was going to bring a rattlesnake to the service? No, I'm not. That's it. I really wish I could have, but there's too many. Oh, and by the way, this is just a snake app that has a little sound. So that's all we have to worry about. All right. But I would like to talk about snakes this morning. And the scripture we read is a wonderful story about Paul. And if you're into Treasure Island and those kind of stories, you got to read this in Acts chapter 28 and even 27. It's a wonderful story, you know, when Paul's on his way to Rome to be put on trial, and they have a shipwreck and things happen, and the crew gets on a little boat, a life raft, and they get ready to escape, and they're just going to leave Paul and the prisoners and the soldiers, leave them there to die in this ship. And Paul says, don't let them go. He said, if they go, we're all going to die. So the soldiers cut the life raft off, and they all end up swimming to shore to this place called Malta. And just a wonderful story, and in the middle of it, they need to build a fire because they're freezing to death. It'd kind of be like the weather today, you know. And Paul grabs this big old load of sticks, starts to throw it in the fire, and a serpent, Levantine viper is what they think that probably was, just comes out and latches onto him. Now, they think it was that because of the area there that it was from, and plus the Levantine viper is one of the few snakes, when it grabs it, it will not let go. It just hangs on. You know, and that verse told us that he had to kind of shake it into the fire. And plus the fact that Levantine vipers kill you within 30 minutes, you are dead. So they thought he was going to die, but he didn't die. There was a miracle here, right? And everything happened good. They lived happily ever after, right? Just a wonderful story. So I thought, well, let's kind of just talk a little bit about snakes. How to handle snakes and how to keep from being bitten by snakes, right? And then maybe we can tie this into this story we read in Acts, and maybe it can help us out a little bit. Does anybody want to know the number one way to avoid getting bitten by snakes? I hear like 80,000 answers here. But I did hear one. A lady was very persistent. She said, leave them alone. That's right. If you leave them alone, they normally won't bother you, right? All right, so here's our number one rule for snakes. If you don't want to get bit, stay away from them. Now, I could not do that for the life of me. As a young person, I could not. Every snake I saw, as a matter of fact, I made a pact with myself when I was in fourth grade that I would never let a snake go by that I at least tried to catch. You know, and that worked out pretty bad for me because I walked to school, and if I'd see a snake, and we lived in Florida, so there were snakes all over. And if I saw a snake, I would lay my books down. I'd go after that snake, and if he went into the swamps, I went into the swamps. And there were many times that the principal would be calling the parents, your son didn't get to school till noon, and he's soaking wet from the knees down. I'm like, well, I made a pact. I got it. One thing I could say, I kept solid with that pact until I was 18 years old, when I finally said, I'm just going to have to let him go sometimes. I don't know. It's something about girlfriends and stuff. There's just more important things than snakes. But before that, there wasn't. There was nothing more important. All right, leave him be, and you're not going to get bit, right? Second rule of safety, keep from being bit, is know the weaknesses of snakes. Snakes have some weaknesses. Does anybody know what the weaknesses are? They don't have any hands. All right. So in sandy or smooth ground, they're actually pretty slow. They wiggle around a lot, but they don't really get anywhere. So that's kind of a weakness. They can't grab a hold of you with their hands, you know, and hang on. So if you hold them just right, which is right behind the neck, on the sides, and hold them just right, then they can't turn around and bite you. Right? The trick is trying to get to that point to where you can hold them from the sides, and that doesn't always, you know, work every time. They used to say there was two ways to hold a snake. One was from the sides, and one either you could hold them from the top and the bottom. And I met a herpetologist one day that was missing both of these fingers. Had a copperhead. He was holding it top and bottom, and that copperhead opened up, extended his fangs, and bit right through his own lower mouth into this guy's finger, and then they had to cut his fingers off. So now they say side to side is the best way to hold it, which is pretty good. Okay? Know their weaknesses. Another thing you need to know, their strengths. Does anybody know what strengths a snake might have? Very strong, all right? A snake is like one solid chunk of muscle. They're extremely strong. And you have to be aware of that. If a snake is as big as your muscle, it will be able to outmaneuver you, all right? When I decided not to be a herpetologist, I was in the fifth grade. So any fifth graders here? They're probably all over there, ain't they? So fifth grade, 110 pounds or whatever, and my dad's like, Tim, we found a rattlesnake, and it was a diamondback rattlesnake, 5'9" tall, all right? So here I am, 14 years old, and I'm going up against it, and this thing was this big and round at the thickest part, head big as my brother still has the head and the tail, big old rattles, and I got ready to tackle that thing, and I'm like, I think I'm going to lose this battle because, I mean, it had big fangs. It was one nasty. We ended up killing it by running over it with a van. All right, and that's how he eventually. So I claimed it as mine. So I've killed three rattlesnakes, two copperheads, a cottonmouth water moccasin, and two coral snakes. The coral snakes are nasty. Got them in school, outside of the school, of course. But this was the biggest one I'd ever messed with. And after that, even after it was dead, I'm trying to hold it down so we can stretch it out to see how long it was to measure it. And I told my dad, I said, Dad, I don't think I want to be a herpetologist anymore. Because when I looked at them fangs and I looked at me, I realized if I keep this up, I'm probably going to be dead at some point. All right. So see, some of you guys are thinking, man, you should have stuck with it. But no. All right. So you got to know the strengths of a snake. You have to understand, you know, what dangers are involved when you're looking for a snake. All right. And that's kind of a thing we always have to watch for. Talon brought one in the other day. He said, oh, Papaw's going to be so proud. He'd caught a snake and he said, here. And I'm like, whoa, Talon. First, you got to know what kind of snake it is. You know, you can't just go grabbing snakes, right? So I said, you got to go and memorize all the snakes so that you can tell them apart. You know, because what might be a really cool thing might end up in a hospital room. You know, we don't want that. So you have to know what their weaknesses are. But the fact is, even if you avoid them, even if you know their strengths and weaknesses, just like Paul did, what can still happen? Sometimes you can still get bit. Sometimes there's just not a whole lot we can do, and that's going to happen, right? It's never happened to me. I've gotten bit many, many times. I tried to sit and think, count how many times I've been bit before, and I ran out of fingers. but they were all my fault. Every time I was bit is when I was trying to catch a snake, all right? It's never because I'm just walking by and, whew, I just got bit. You know, it does happen, but not very often, but it does happen, right? All right, now, let's look at this spiritually, because I'm sure you probably don't have much interest in snakes. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But how about spiritually? Who reminds us the most of a snake in our spiritual lives? The devil. Satan. I had a pet snake, and his name was Lucifer. You know, they tie together, you know, and a lot of people, when they think of snakes, there's Satan, that old Satan, you know. But spiritually, we can look at it that way, and the lessons learned are the same lessons that we can learn thinking about Satan. Because Satan wants to bite us with sin. Satan wants to capture us. He wants his fangs in us, and he wants to fill us with venom, and he wants to ruin our lives. His only goal is to bring as many of us with him to hell as he can. So, how do we avoid the attacks of Satan? How do we avoid being bit by Satan? Same answers. What's the number one answer? How can we avoid sin in our life? Stay away from it. Stay away from it. If you think about it, most of the sin that we commit, most of the wrong things we do, is because we were either in the wrong place, it was at the wrong time, or we were with the wrong people, or we were thinking the wrong things. There's some situation popped up, and then you kind of shake your head, and you say, I should have never been here in the first place. You know, this, oh, why am I sinning? Why are all these temptations falling on me? Well, look where you are. You know, look in your life. Think in your life of situations, and you'll agree with me. Most of the time when we fall to the temptation of sins, it's because we are getting as close to sin as possible. It's like a cliff. We're standing on this cliff. And this is straight down. We went to the Grand Canyon, all right? So here Deb and I are at the Grand Canyon. And if this was the cliff, now the Grand Canyon, it's like straight down, right? Anybody want to guess where Debbie is?
Right down here.
Oh, no. She's not. Debbie is like 100 yards back that way. Now little Timmy is right on the edge looking down. But Deb's back 20, 30 feet from the edge, back where that little handrail thing is, to where the humans are supposed to be, right? All right. Between the two of us, which is more likely to fall? Me, right? because I'm right there looking down. Oh, wow, isn't that, whoa, and then you start getting a little dizzy, and now you're in the book. They had a book there, how many people had died at Grand Canyon. I'm, you know, that's most of them is right there. Oh, isn't this wonderful? Here, take my picture. You know, and down they go. I think there was 82 that just from photo opportunities that have died in the Grand Canyon. You know, take my picture. Okay, this is how we are with sin. All right, we know what we're not supposed to do, but we get as close to that as we can. What does the Bible tell about having thoughts about a man and a woman, a boy and a girl, having relations with someone outside of marriage? What's the Bible say about that? It's a sin. Jesus went a step further, and what did he say? Even if you think it in your mind, it's a sin. Jesus is saying, there's the sin. We need to be back here. Not even in our minds. But what do? Oh, wow, this is fun. This is cool. No, we haven't done that. But we're just going to get as close as we can. Every situation in our lives, every sin, is usually because we're somewhere where we shouldn't be. We're thinking things that we shouldn't think. Or we're with people that we should never be with. Do you have some friends or know some people that are just like really a bad influence? Not just kids, I mean adults. Isn't it true that whoever we hang out with, what happens? That's what we become. We become more and more like that. If you want to avoid snakes, you stay away from them. If you want to avoid sin, the bite of sin, you stay away from it as much as possible. Number two, recognize the weak points. So if we want to avoid sin, we need to recognize that Satan does have some weak points. Anybody want to know what the weak points? You got any thoughts? I don't know. He's pretty strong. He's smart. He's the best liar the world has ever seen. But he has some weak points. God. When we are with God, Satan has no power. When we put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6 says you put on the armor of God. You remember that? Why are we putting on this armor? To keep from being snake bit. It says to keep out the wiles, the tricks, the cunning devices of the devil. So we have this shield of faith. So when we have faith, that protects us. That's Satan's weak point, is faith. The helmet of salvation, when we are saved, that protects us. The feet shod with the preparation of a gospel of peace. So when we try to be peacemakers, that is protecting us. And all these things are just like going out into a venom-filled, snake-filled pit. You know, if we had this armor on, we would be protected. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have this Bible, and we read that Bible, and that is our offensive weapon. So we can be protected. So we need to know Satan's weak points. We also need to know his strong points. Satan is a very strong being. The strongest being on earth, except for the forces of Christ. Strongest thing out there. The best liar that you ever heard. Satan can make any good thing into a bad thing. Satan can take the part of a truth and twist that into a lie, and he can cause us to sin by what we thought was a good thing, by what we thought was a truth. We need to be aware and never forget the fact that Satan is the most powerful being on this earth except for Christ and the power of Christ. And the fact is, even when we try to stay from sin, even when we recognize the powers and the weaknesses of Satan, we're still going to get bit sometimes. Think about that. Paul didn't do anything. He's just trying to get a fire going. And now, I do appreciate Paul in this story because he wasn't a wimpy fire maker. You know how the wimpy ones, they get this little stick. Oh, let me put this stick on the fire. Paul takes like this handful. It had to be a big enough handful that there was a snake inside of the handful, right? Because it didn't strike until he put it onto the fire. And then when he put it on the fire, it came up out of the fire. So he was like, let's get this fire going. He was, you know, he had a big old load of wood he put on there and this snake come out. So Paul wasn't doing it. He wasn't trying to catch snakes, but he still got bit. And we're the same way because we are still going to to give in to the temptations. We are still going to sin. Satan is still going to get his fangs on us. There's really, I hate to say there's nothing we can do about it, but it's a fact of life. The Bible tells us, you know, over and over in Romans, you know, it says we've all sinned. So we have all been bit by Satan. We've all done that. So what do we do? Oh, I've done this wrong. I've sinned. I've given in to Satan. What do we do at that point? Well, what did Paul do? He just shook it off and moved on. He shook it off and moved on. I do got one verse I'd like to read. Ephesians chapter 4. I think they're going to get it up here for us. Yeah, there it is waiting for us. Verses 22 and 23. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. So, when we're wrong, when we have this old self, this sin that's got on, Paul says, you just shake it off. You put it off and you move on, because that's going to happen in all of our lives. Another interesting thing, who got bit in this story with Paul? How many different ones got bit? Just the one. How many were working on the fire getting it going? That looked like, from what we read, that was Paul's job. He's the only one that was doing anything, and he's the one that got bit. Now, have you ever thought about this? Satan attacks those who are active. Satan is after those who are on fire, who are heating the world up. Satan's attacking those who are trying to do what's good in this world. In one place, in Acts chapter 17, they called and they grabbed somebody and they said, help us, help us. He said, these people who have turned the world upside down are now here. Wouldn't that be kind of a good compliment to say, you are turning the world upside down? You're setting the world on fire for Christ. Now, who do you think Satan's going to attack? The one just sitting over there in the corner, or the one who's trying to turn the world upside down? So that's kind of one thing we need to watch for. When I was a teenager, I remember one day I talked to my dad, and he said, how's things going? I'm like, I don't think I got an enemy in the world. He said, nobody bothers me. He said, life is wonderful. And I thought he was going to say, good job, Tim, but he didn't. You know what he said? He said, you better be careful. He said, if everybody likes you, something's wrong. It took me a long time to think about that. Have you ever thought about that? If you don't have any enemies, something's wrong. Because Satan is there ready to attack anyone who's trying to do what's right. So, the lesson was, if you just sit and hide in the corner, I'll be a Christian, but I'm just going to kind of hide in the corner and keep to myself. Satan's not going to bother you. Satan's after the ones who are putting wood on the fire. He's after the ones who are trying to do what's right, who are standing up. So if you're standing up for what's right and Satan's trying to attack you, that's just going to happen. Just shake it off and move on. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5? He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you're trying to do what's right and you're being persecuted by that, he said, that's a good thing. You're in good company. He said, because every prophet before you that was trying to do what's right was persecuted by people. So we are going to be persecuted by people. This is our job on earth, is to try to make it to heaven and bring as many people with us as we can, right? That's our goal. That's why we're here. And Satan's doing everything he can to stop us. After Paul was done with that fire, if you keep reading, at the end of that, he shook it off and he went on helping other people. You know, if you think about it, as great as a preacher that Paul was, as great as a speaker, his main purpose was just to help other people. He went back, somebody was sick, he healed him. The whole island brought their sick people in. Paul healed them. He just took care of people the whole time. There's our mission. We do the best we can. We live the best life we can. When Satan attacks us, you shake it off. We pray to God. We ask for forgiveness. And we move on and help as many people as we can. That's all we need to do on this earth. October 28, 1968. the Olympics were held in Mexico City, and the marathon had finished. The camera crews were leaving. It was 7 p.m., and as they're pulling out, here comes this one runner comes straggling in, blood all over him, and he's just limping and straggling, getting to that finish line. Some of the camera crews turned around, and they filmed it because everybody else was done. He crossed the line. He collapsed. People helped him. So they went and interviewed this man. He is from Tanzania. And they're like, why did you finish the race? They had footage way miles and miles back where he had fell and got hurt. They're like, why didn't you just let the ambulance take you and get you taken care of? Why did you finish the race? And here's his quote. My country didn't send me 7,000 miles to start a race. They sent me 7,000 miles to finish the race. God didn't put you here where you are to sit and hide in a corner. God put you here to finish the race. You're here right now to finish the race and bring as many people with you as you can. The invitation's open to you this morning. If you are not a Christian, you haven't even started the race. If you're a Christian and maybe you've fallen, you let Satan take control, this is your opportunity to make that right. The invitation is all open. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.